For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Hi, Simona here. I've been around for about a year, and you know, I am grateful for the chance when Taiyuan gently offered, extended the opportunity to share the thoughts during this past year spent together with many of you to practice together for the first time. And the first immediate feeling for that was gratitude. And the second feeling was panic and imposter syndrome. And I think that makes kind of sense because I think that imposter syndrome goes really well with the presets in my experience. looking at the presets and the first time I looked at those, I was just like, well, I'm not good enough for that. Those are too good for me. They kind of like, you know, don't lie, don't steal. It's not that I go around stealing every day, but it kind of felt as something out of reach. They were too good for me to even ask or think about asking to dedicate myself a little bit for working on them. And there was a little bit of a blocker at first. I looked at them and it looked like you look at those guidelines, really, it's not even commandments, maybe coming from the Catholic guilt. I feel like I was born with original sin and I could never be good enough to repair what I was born with. Looking at that, I thought, this is a little bit, it's like 10 cool kids on the side, like don't lie, don't steal, don't do this, don't do that. And I'm not good enough for that. I wonder how much of that is an excuse for me to not work on something. And it's actually fear of not being good enough for something and an excuse to not look at it and not work on it. And how much of that is true. So I started to look at it more as if it's a do what you can kind of thing, like knowing that you cannot reach that ideal level of perfection in embodying those precepts. Do I take up the challenge of at least taking a look at them? Like it's, you know, even don't kill, if I thought about it, it's kind of impossible. Like every step I take, possibly a few billion organisms die somehow. So in truth, we kind of, you know, every action you take in the modern world, you are also kind of killing the ecosystem. Whatever plastic or product you take, you're doing that. So I started to look at it more like that. And you know, I wonder if I am never able to reach that, if you're never able to reach the perfection of following the precepts, then what is the point? And the point that I am finding for myself, at least, is the intentionality of that. I think it's really important to go beyond that first imposter syndrome that you have, that I have, and to at least have the intention of commitment to that. I think in a moment where everybody feels like drifting away about their day and we're more and more distracted by something and kind of like reacting to rather than thinking about something, I think being intentional about the decision to commit to something, to recognize something, to see something, is already more of a step than I took in the past towards ideals or towards something that I feel is just right. And that, you know, while at first it might seem that the precepts are this unachievable thing, and they kind of are in their pure form, it also feels that they're very simple and mundane. Like it's not like I look at the precepts and you go like, well, this doesn't make sense. But you look at them and they go like, yeah, this makes sense. Of course don't kill. Of course don't steal. Of course don't talk badly about somebody else, their expanse, and just take it. You know, of course treasure your community and who you find around yourself. This is something that we encounter in life and encounter like that. And I feel that that has been a truth that I've been presented with in my life in different forms, in a million ways, in a million occasions. And it's very recognizable there. And the journey itself is acknowledging this little truth that we're all presented with in life. I think each one of us, it's like a clue game about the unspeakable. You get a set number of hints about what I don't know how to talk about, like about love, about recognizing each other, about what our kind of meaning is in this existence. And it's up to us to take it and recognize it and the moment that it presents itself. And it can be something that we've seen a million times. It can be a book read 10 times, and the 10th time it assumes another different meaning. It's a different layer that you go, you are able to go deeper and deeper into that layer, or the truth itself, the thing itself, maybe it's ready to emerge to you. And at rare times it happens that you and that truth encounter yourselves and you recognize into each other's. And that's kind of the choice, not just of the precept, but of intentionality and being present every day in the moment. That's what makes a difference. And it's a little bit of a choice. Like, do I decide to acknowledge this flow and see how I can have a conversation with it and see how I can work with it? Or do I keep ignoring it and maybe hiding behind the fear that I'm not good enough? And not face it and not work with it. And that's why, you know, it's just do what you get. It's just like, maybe I'll kill a billion insects or something, not on purpose, but, you know, how do you deal with it? You just ignore it. I cannot. And this truth can surface every time. It happens to me. I don't know if it happens to you, but a few times it happened, for example, with songs that I maybe misjudged, even superficial, like a pop song or something. And I remember on a couple of occasions, one was in Italian, was this apparently superficial pop song, was like, sotto una montagna di paure e di ambizioni c'è nascosto qualche cosa che non muore. Under a mountain of ambitions and fears, there is hidden something that doesn't die. Se cercate in ogni sguardo dietro un muro di cartone troverete tanta luce e tanto amore. If you seek beyond the gaze of everyone else behind a paper drywall, you'll find so much light and so much love. And they're like, you know, cute lyrics, but one day they hit differently, and that can happen with basically everything in life. It can happen with just a preset. It can happen with that. It can happen with. And it doesn't have to be, it can maybe anthropomorphizing like I do with the behavior of a dog. Like, you're just like, the dog is really intelligent. Like, maybe this song didn't mean that, but it means it speaks to me in that moment, and the truth finds its way. And that's kind of, I'm trying to see the precepts too. The precepts emanate from this core layer that is 10 onion layers down that I don't understand, I can't see. But something comes out of it. And I think these are good guidelines to come back to the remembrance that we have and we have forgotten, that is there, and we can kind of go back to it. So, you know, it can be a useful guideline in this drifting away here and there that I can give myself, I can gift myself if I am decent enough to attempt to at least accept the challenge to go back to that. The end of the day, you know, I think the most interesting people that I encountered in life are those that are sensitive to these kind of changes and signals, which are these hints to capture. I think Hogetsu a few months ago was talking about the Dharma GPS that guides you. And it's kind of a little bit like that, right? There is the Dharma broadcast signal, still in a parallel, that is there. And you get all these little signals and signs. And, you know, if you're sensitive enough, people may be set on something, but if you're sensitive to that, then you change and adapt and take a different kind of path intentionally. You can make the decision to listen for those at the best of your abilities, to the best of my abilities. We can kind of attempt to that. And one of the things that I find the hardest is to kind of give up about pretending to do something perfectly or knowing how to do it. It's really, really hard. I have to come to terms with the fact that the precepts are also like that. And also sitting is also like that. It's kind of like looking for the remote or the glasses. When, you know, you look for them and you don't find them, you want to fall asleep at night because you have insomnia, so you're just like, I really want to fall asleep now. I'll come to this, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. The moment you give up, you fall asleep. The moment you don't look for the glasses, you look for the glasses. The moment that you are not trying to be on the perfect path, you probably are on it or very close. So giving up this fear of recognizing something such as the value of the precepts or the truth about someone we have in front of us, that we have always known something about them, we always know who they are, but we just don't accept it. I think that kind of thing is not losing something. It's not a giving up that is a loss. It's more of a freedom of letting things be. And I think giving up is another way to say taking refuge in Buddha, in Dharma, in Sangha. It's just another way to let that go. And, you know, the imposter syndrome is not that much of a problem the moment I realize that I kind of am an imposter. So I'm the imposter. So that makes it much easier if you just, at least me, accept that and move on and go like, okay, being an imposter, what do I do about it? How can I work on that? And for now, I don't have much more, so I hope it was a very short rant. Probably I got the record for the shortest Dharma talk ever. I appreciate everybody's support that I was able to find here and the opportunity to exchange and grow together. And now the awkward silence.
Thank you, Sumi. I appreciate your description of your engagement with precepts. Comments, questions, responses, anybody from you over online?
You know, you really said so much. And, you really said so much in what you said, however long or however short. But I love what you said in the end. You know, if you're an imposter, be fully an imposter. That is straight out of Dogen. Straight out of Dogen. That's what Dogen is telling us to do, is whatever it is that it is, just be it, you know, embrace it, accept it. But I also really appreciated your awareness that, you know, when we encounter the precepts, they mean different things to us at different times in our lives. And one that sometimes I think the way that I think about practicing them is like, which one is really kind of calling to me right now to pay attention to. It's like song lyrics. I find that in my daily life, things will just, like, some song lyric will come up in my head, and it's, you know, and it has everything to do with whatever is going on in my head or going on, you know, outside of me. And the precepts are like that too. And I think that that's a, like, really you're kind of showing a hallmark of practice that you go through your daily life and suddenly a precept hits you differently. That's practice exactly. So, thank you for conveying, you know, both spirit of Dogen and the spirit of practice in your talk.
Thank you. I didn't know that, but it's good to know.
Well, you know, you may not remember, like, you know, the specifics, but you got the spirit of it.
Yeah, we always compose from what we are given around us, right? So
Yeah. Somehow
somebody and something planted things.
Yeah. Robes are wet. Even though you didn't realize you were walking in a mist.
it's really just, you know, it's been radically sitting very, very radically on my own. And frankly, it's a little bit hard to engage. Ogetsu knows that. Mm-hmm. Paradoxically, the moment that I requested to work at the precepts, I think I got a little bit more scared of them. This is a mess. I was doing so great. Then I was like, how do I work with this? But, you know, the question to me is also, why not? You know, what else is there to do? Like, if we are, the only thing that we can do is to try. And I'm so profoundly convinced about this, about relationships and everything, so deeply in for ourselves. And I sound maybe great when I say it, but it's really hard. But more and more, I think, as you go ahead, it's kind of painful and comforting to see that everybody really is trying. There is no person that is not trying to do their best, even in the most of their ignorance and our ignorance. I remember something that occasionally there is that thing, you know, hey, what is Hitler doing? Is Hitler, you know, is Hitler acting also part of the Dharma? Yes, sadly, yes. That is inside you. That is inside me. We don't recognize that. We can't work on that. And I'm taking the negative example, but the most beautiful example of the Buddha, and that is also in that. And I don't know how I got there, but you know, it's in the daily trying. Like there is no, the only possible loss is not trying. That's all that I feel. Yeah, okay, relationships and this. So why not? Let's fail. Thank you.
For a moment there, it looked like Nicholas was unmuting. Could that be?
Yes, I was unmuting, and let me start my video. Hi. Thank you so much for a great talk. I really liked that talk, and I, you know, on some level, I think, you know, we're all imposters. You know, it's like, as Oscar Wilde says, we're all in the gutter, but, you know, we're looking. You know, so it's for me, the precepts have been a real process, and it's, you know, it's something that I think that everyone has to work out, you know, for themselves, and it's like a koan, and you know, we chew on it perhaps, you know, forever, and we try, as you said, and what else is there, right? But putting one foot in front of the other and, you know, getting up and making your bed, you know, and moving forward. So it's this idea of moving forward. But, you know, I also want to acknowledge you as a Sangha member, because you've been kind of such, you know, just one of the rare birds that, you know, flies in and just is there, and you're participating and you're helping people and you're using your creativity, you know, and your gifts to you know, benefit the Sangha with your photographs and a whole bunch of other ways. And, you know, you're just so smart and creative, and I just really appreciate who you are, and I'm so glad you're in this Sangha and that you show up regularly, and a real gift to me, and I will go as so far as to say to everyone, to the entire Sangha, you know, like that you jumped in and just went to Tassajara without a lot of experience, you know, it was amazing, and you know, for this Sangha to survive, we need people like you. So thanks for showing up.
Likewise, my friend. Thank you for letting me jump into the Sangha and the Sangha randomly, in and out, and strongly, and gently, and strongly, and away, and in, and all of that. Thank you, guys.
You echoed my therapy session today very nicely. So thank you. I was talking to my therapist today about a recent job interview I had, which didn't go well. Mm-hmm. And immediately I jumped to this conclusion that this must not be the career for me, that I must do something else. And after some circumlocution, my therapist said, well, perhaps you need to work harder. Not in the sense of you're not good enough, but I interpret it as in the Buddhist sense of kind of sitting with the discomfort of what was happening. And it sounds like you're kind of going through something similar like that with the precepts, where like, you know, you just have to try, and you have to, you're showing up, and you're not letting fear get in your way. And I think that's it. Like just this. It's interesting how I think, as Nicholas said too, like you came in very quickly and kind of jumped right in and went to Tassajara and are starting to, you know, start the process of receiving the precepts. And I waited so long, and I'm like, what was my hold up? You know, like I was letting fear get in my way of that too. And cause I think I was waiting for some aha moment from above to be like, it's time. And that doesn't happen, but, it happens not from above, but it happens in some intentional mind shift, like you were talking about. So, I don't know. I could relate.
So thanks for sharing that. I have to be honest about something. I felt guilty about asking for the precepts just because I was just like, if a person who's not around, like, you know, has been around longer, doesn't, why should I? And that, I've seen that with, you know, a few people around. Yeah. And then I was like, well, because that's my journey, not theirs.
that's my journey.
Like, and not to take away from the fight that you maybe have to sit more with the discomfort of work and that, but I don't know if your therapist said, and I thought of a couple of Italian figures of speech that I can't translate. I'll also like give you a break, maybe compared to a therapist about something. It is a pretty awful market about like job interviews.
Of course.
As a person who's on the market. So give yourself that. I mean, power through the discomfort, that's the good way to do it, but also it's an awful job market. To work with interviews. So yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And yeah, I think you're right. There's a parallel in having to work towards more. Yes.
Simone, thank you. I'm just really, really appreciating and enjoying this this conversation and your talk that that brought it forth. I did a version of mindfulness meditation for 11 years that was not really connected to any ethical system or teaching. I mean, it could have been, but mine was just just sitting and breathing. That's fine. And I really, it wasn't until I got here that I realized, oh, I really miss the connection to an ancient tradition and an ethical system, And I sometimes wonder, this question about, okay, so, you talked about a Catholic upbringing, and, the ten precepts, the 10 great precepts kind of resemble, and they're not that different. And so I sometimes wonder, is it that, that version, at least in the, currently sort of tends more to perfectionism and you're bad and original sin, you started out bad, that's why you're bad, that's why your life sucks, is because you do and all that, Or I sometimes wonder if it's just more that, that we then encounter this, I think maybe it's both, but there's, I experience a lightness and a kindness and a suppleness, I guess, with the precepts. Even the name, the precepts. It's like, here's really good sage advice. Here's something that you might study. Whereas a command bunch is, you're already wrong, so just shut up and do this thing that you should have been doing already.
I feel exactly like you. The path was, and I think it may be common, was like, growing the Catholic Church, go with nuns and priests in Rome for 15 years or so. And then I hate you all. We'll go to Mass on Christmas Eve with headphones and a book in front of the Pope at midnight.
Yeah.
And then you go, hold on, this, the anger that I have, in my case, David, I don't know, but it resonates because my thing is like, I don't actually have anger towards my fellow beings like me, but more towards the systems that implement a certain credo. And that could be anything, and it happens to be a highly systematically organized. I wonder if I grew up in Japan with the Soto Zen, if I would have been pissed at some of that, you know. And but the core is the quirkiness of us sitting in a zendo like this and not being a super gigantic system that digests and spits out everything as kind of a control is what makes me hopeful and participant into our community in this, is the softness is also in the system, not just in the way the precepts are worded much nicer. If I were told, do not, I'll go like, I have a freedom of, you know, it is up to me if I want to follow that path or not.
Yes.
But the trick, and I say in a good way, is to remind you that, you know, I think it's Suzuki Roshi has the fact that the cattle or whatever, livestock, you know, if you give them the receipt that is big enough, then they have the illusion that they have the freedom, which they have to an extent to move within the receipt. But I think that when we recognize the precepts, my question is like, you know, that thing is there. I know, I sense, I feel. There is a core of truth that I can't speak that is there. The precepts are kind of like the vast guidelines within which you can decide to move or to go against. And I'm really scared about the nihilism of deciding against doing that because of thinking, you know, nothing matters. I said, if I am projecting my own reality within this, or we are all projecting this and we're making it up and we're creating, then if I give attention to the moment, am I not perpetuating the reality and the illusion and the shadows even more?
Mm.
So, but that is a dangerous trick of thinking that I'm in control. You know, you gotta give up. You gotta give up. It's like thinking, why? And eventually, like, because. It's like, I don't know. And so that's kind of like the precepts give me the freedom to give up without being obligated to.
Will you say that again, what you just said?
The precepts give me the freedom to give up without being obligated to.
Wow. Thank you.
It's just, that's the feeling that I have according to this. Because here's how I say it. It's like, I'll do the best to think about not killing at the best of my abilities and capability in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, sir. Simone, if I may, I just want to add something to everything, all the wonderful things you've just said. that exactly your feeling, imposter or whatever, that on some deeper level, the precepts aren't about being good or being right, certainly not about being perfect, but it's just turning towards, taking refuge, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. And when you confess to us, so you just did a beautiful confession and repentance, which is an integral part of this process, that turning towards Buddha, turning towards Dharma, turning towards Sangha, joining with the Buddhas, and you also in the ceremony get a lineage paper that connects you to Buddha. So feeling like you're an imposter, another way to talk about that is confessing that I don't have control of how, you know, how well I will follow precept X or Y. So deeper than being good or being right or getting it right or being perfect or not perfect, just you're turning towards. And of course you express that in everything you said very beautifully. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you.
Maybe we should have one more comment or question and then move on to the announcements.
Yes, if there is one, it works.
Well, Simone, you know, I've been thinking a lot about communication, and there's a news site called Axios, and they're promoting this practice called smart brevity. And I thought your talk, brief, but it was smart brevity because it invited us all to engage this very tender process of meeting the precepts, of meeting what we know and where we know we don't quite get it right sometimes. You know, we know something, but we haven't expressed it fully, and that the precepts support us. So again, it's this buoyancy of supporting us to express something we all know fully, and we all grieve when it isn't expressed. So I think that your talk is a great example of how we learn together with the precepts and move together as one Buddha body in, you know, be human, and still we know something and we're growing. So I just want to thank you for that. I hope I can learn smart brevity as well as you've expressed it.
Thank you for you all's teachings in the Sangha. Thank you so much for the opportunity and coping with my fast, anxious speaking at first.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.